Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm Scott Catoon. We are back at the Showcase Studio at WGN. We are with the founder of, I guess we'll say, I mean, at this point, Holberg Finance, but there's also Rogue Finance. We got to talk about the book. So, Joe, you're sitting here next to me. You got to hear, or at least somewhat, I hope you got to hear, everything that we talked about in my 5 good minutes about students and sort of dealing with finance and stuff like that. So, first off, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, from your standpoint, and I recall you told me just before we came on here that you're actually partners with Peanut Butter Inc., which is our friend Dave Aronson, who's on a honeymoon. Congratulations, Dave. He's on his honeymoon right now, traveling around God knows where.
Italy.
What a rough life this guy has. Obviously, he dealt with his finances first, huh?
One would hope.
So, you know, you heard me kind of talk about this. We're going to take a little bit of a quick chat here, and then we're going to go take our commercial break. And then if you're cool, we'll come back on with you and talk a little bit more about Rogue Finances. But what's your take on this? How do you think kids, not just kids, I mean, kids of all ages should be aware of finances. I wish I had been more, but startup founders, people in general, how should they be, what can they do to be more aware financially?
Yeah, I mean, so kids is fun because, you know, obviously in the United States, if we did it right, we would teach in the K-12 space. We know that's not the case. So we're really talking about young professionals and millennials, right?
People, so kids.
Yeah, kids. You know, I'm myself included. I'm still in my 20s for a little bit now. But you know, there's a couple of things. The first one is, you know, it comes down to information. And there's so much information out there now. And the second thing is, really, people are looking for an answer that is specific to them. They're not looking for another blog. They're not looking for a general piece of advice. They want to know that it works exactly for them. And I think that's what we're doing.
So I guess, you know, you talk about, and you've got a book, I'm holding it right here. We've got Rogue Finances here. And, you know, let's get a plug to what we're going to talk about a little bit more. But I feel like Rogue Finances is a general, let's just start with the title.
Sure.
I mean, it was attractive to me because I think I go rogue on just about everything. I take things to about the absolute limit. And I mentioned that irresponsibly in my monologue about the fact that if you want to start a company and you want to get things done, sometimes you just have to take a risk and just jump and go and then figure it out on the way down or the way up, hopefully. So how do you recommend, I mean, what is you're the, you know, self-proclaimed Netflix of finance. How, what does that mean? Like how, what is your mantra? What's your ethos, if you will?
Yeah. So answering your first question, the Rogue Finances piece is, you know, the financial status quo has been around for about 250 years, really since the start of the country. And it has generally worked for the very wealthy individuals in America. And I think by naming it Rogue Finances, what I'm saying is, hey, look, this should not just be accessible to those people in the highest socioeconomic band. We've got to do something to bridge the gap and bring really personalized financial information to people that don't have $250,000 plus, which is usually the buy-in at, you know, these large financial institutions. And that really gets back to the second part of it, which is the Netflix component, which is, hey, when you log on to Netflix, they're tailoring the results exactly for your needs and preferences. And I think that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're not just trying to say, hey, save more, save 10% of your income. We're saying, given your budget, given your income, given your student loan debt, your credit card debt, et cetera, this is approximately how much you can save. And then you walk through all of these different financial areas and you can help somebody develop a really customized strategy that works for them.
Yeah. See, I wasn't sure if the idea was that you invested in Netflix. And so now you don't have to worry about it.
No,
you're in that
1%. We're not affiliated.
No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. But seriously though, with all of this, you know, the thing that ultimately I think, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's a struggle for me because I look at like the financial, you know, having school loans above my head, right? Mm-hmm. I look at the people in that 1% you talk about who come from families who had wealth and the big advantages that they didn't, their kids don't have the tuition debt, mm-hmm, that the rest of us do when we come out and start our companies or whatever it is.
Right.
And then there's also insider information. And I don't mean that in a illegal sense. Right. I mean, insider knowledge, when you buy a company or when you start a company or you take on money, that you should diversify and actually take some of that investment money and put it into places to make the money work for itself that is low risk, but also gets a return. And that's something that most founders, when they raise their first capital round, they don't do that. They just like spend it all and throw the money, all this stuff, and they run out of money. And it's, there's almost like there's a set of rules that the rich have sort of been given the pass to, mm-hmm. and the rest of us don't. And what I think is unique about this is it sort of sheds a little light on it. And it's like, you know, it doesn't, you can use the same principles. You don't have to have the same amount of wealth. You can still use the same principles and do well for yourself.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And I think that's part of the reason I wrote the book in the first place was I was sitting there and I was like, wow, look at all this information that one, I had to stumble across over my entire career and even before that. And I was just sitting there and I was like, whoa, people need to know this stuff. What is a credit score? How's it calculated? What's a good score? What's an average score, right? And you've got 50 questions in each one of these categories. And by putting it into a book, you can start to get people onto an on-ramp so that they're also then experiencing that information that has traditionally been reserved for people with more money.
Well, we're going to jump more into that. We're going to jump more into your story and how you got into this. And we're going to talk, obviously, a little deeper about Rogue Finances and stuff, as well as your main company, Holberg Financial. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back with you. It's going to be great.
Love it.
Wait a minute. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show, and it's time to play.
We are back in studio at the Startup Showcase. I'm Scott Catoon, your host. This is Technori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Still sitting next to me, we've got Joel Holberg, Holberg Financial. We didn't get a chance to really dive deep into like exactly how this works. We know that you're here to help people save money, particularly people who look like me, who I don't know what that means, but like what I look like, but I look like a person who doesn't save money. I feel like that's what I look like. So we got you here. I want to kind of learn a lot more about Holberg Financial. I know that it's a different model. As you said, it's the Netflix of finances. So why don't you kind of fill us in? How does this work?
Yeah, sure. And thanks again for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. So
trying to learn how to save money.
Yeah, and you know, saving money is part of the equation. Paying off debt, you know, we touched on student loans earlier, all the way up to saving for retirement, building your investment portfolio, right? There's a whole swath of financial issues out there that everyone has to sort of partake in if they want to have a financially healthy life. And so what we're doing is we're offering companies a financial health and wellness benefit that they can offer to their employees to help them increase their financial health and success. And so that's sort of the primary model that we're operating under right now. And, you know, these companies that are offering it to their employees love it, which in turn makes them love their companies more, which is, you know, good for both parties.
I don't offer this to my employees, but I plan to. Oh, I talked to, you know, I talked to Dave Arnson from Peanut Butter about this, who you're partners with.
Yeah.
That it's a great idea. I love the model because it's plug and play. And at the end of the day, one of the biggest challenges that I have as a business owner and person who works with and for people is to, I can't explain to you how to save your money. I can't explain how to put yourself in a better position. I just know that once you are in a better position, you're a better employee. You're probably a better person, better spouse, better friend, better everything if you're not financially reeling. And so I guess walk the audience through a little bit on how exactly I would experience this if, say, I don't know, say the CEO of Technori was a generous person and actually incorporated this into his business benefits. How would this manifest itself with my employees?
Yeah. So the great thing is we've paired two really essential attributes together. The first one is we have a tech platform that helps you understand where you are financially. I developed an algorithm to score people from 0 to 100, call it the financial health score. And the great thing about that is it strips away all the noise, right? I mean, there's a lot of data points. People talk about net worth. They talk about like assets and liabilities. And a lot of people are just like, screw that. I just want to know how well I'm doing. And so the first thing is you get a score from 0 to 100. The goal then with our platform is to help you build your score over time, which means that you're becoming more financially healthy, right? You're paying off your credit card debt, your student loans, you're saving more.
So far I'm at 0 on the score, by the way.
You know,
this isn't looking good for me.
I think you'd be surprised. And you know, the object here is to help people improve. And then the second part of our platform is really helping people set and prioritize their goals, which we pair with a real person so that it does get way more personalized rather than super generic, right? I mean, you can get on like mint.com. It's an amazing tool, but you can never have it tell you exactly what you need to do next.
Mint is, not to go off on another rant here, but Mint is one of those things that I was like a first adopter. I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
It reminded me, for those of you who play golf and sports people, like the Arcos app, you put it in, it sort of like tracks your daily behavior and then kind of gives you insightful reports mm-hmm. back. Like, yeah, hey, here's some things you probably didn't know. but I feel like it's just been sort of left to the wayside. And the other part about some of that is, you know, we have, our lives are more than just one card. We spend money in cash.
Yep.
We fill out a profile. And if you didn't fill out the profile that's linked to your accounts, like QuickBooks or something that tells you like what you're actually doing, what you own, what your mortgages are, all this other stuff, they just give you a thing like, how much do you make this year? I don't know, $40,000. How much did you, you know, like, how much do you save? I don't know, $20,000. That's not true, because people just sort of put in random numbers like in their head. It's only after they're on your platform that they recognize like, oh, you know what? I'm actually not saving nearly as much money as I thought I was.
Yeah. And you know, it's a crazy phenomenon. And you know, we could, if we had more time, we could dive into behavior.
If we had less commercial breaks, we could dive into this.
Yeah.
But we will, because you're going to come on the podcast and we will actually come in and we'll leave all of the fun conversation to the side and we'll get to business, which is what I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, the other thing is, at the end of the day, this is a startup showcase and you're talking about companies that are startups that you're working with. You're a startup kind of in your own right here.
Oh, absolutely.
And so you wrote the book, Rogue Finance, and I don't want to keep plugging the book, but I just think it's interesting because, there's a model that is around sort of, and we're a big believer in it, the influencer model. And I think that it's abused sometimes. You get people who just think that they know something cool, so they write a book or they write a blog or whatever. And it's like, they create a podcast and it's, they think that they're just going to be this like big star. And in the end of the day, you're contributing the same information as everybody else. I could just like Google search this and it's just like,
oh yeah,
regurgitated absolutely stuff. It's the ones like this that I think are like, wow, you're providing not only an interesting and different outlook and a different perspective on how I can handle it. Something that personally, and if people can go to WGenReader.com, you can actually watch us right now on video and I'm holding up this book. It's very simplistic. It looks like it was written for a person like me. It looks like a person who would be more, I don't know, tech savvy, more sort of like adventurous, more freewheeling on it versus a lot of the finance books, which are like foiled in gold.
Right.
And it's just not attractive. And so I think you're going to find a lot of success with it. I think this is a great, I just realized this. Dave Arnson peanut butter is one of your.
Yeah. He was kind enough to provide a quote for the back. And you know that you nailed it, is the book is conversational. And I would say, and I think I'm correct in this, it's probably the only finance book that references Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, has hashtags in it, you know, like I'm not very
It's not stuffy.
Yeah, it's not stuffy. And it's more, it gets to the heart of what's going on. And ultimately, we just want people to have information so that they can actually get results. And I think that's a big difference between the book as well as my company, is at the end of the day, we're hugely focused on the quantitative aspect and proving that we're getting results for people rather than just writing another generic blog that has 1,000 comments about like how cool it is to save 10% of your income for the rest of your life.
Aside from the obvious, you know, smart guy, writing some cool stuff, doing the right things, I think that one of the main reasons that you're going to be successful is the same reason as I think Dave is going to be successful, and the same reason I think that Tip Yourself is going to be successful, and the same reason I think that Change is going to be successful, is that you are breaking this down in a way where it's two-sided here. There's the for all of you listening who have kids who are millennials, or you're a millennial for yourself, I don't mean to like be critical, but I also don't mean to just throw you into this one little, you know, spot. But here's the thing. We want something that is simplistic as can be. We don't want to have to jump through hurdles and barriers and all these other things, right? Mm-hmm. But at the exact same time, and this is the great irony, we also want to have the most analytical stuff possible, the most reports. Every single millennial that I know, at least in the tech world, they want like simple UX. I want to have the simple experience on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then they want to go to the analytics channel and see 50 bar graphs and see as many analytics and growth, like real-time data. And that's what you have here. Yeah. You created a website in a company in Holberg Financial that provides me with all of the necessary, the guy I used to work for used to say gobbledygook, one of my new favorite words, all the stuff that I would want to know analytically as a young businessman. Mm-hmm. But you also provide it with an information basis that is incredibly simplistic and well-written. Congratulations. This is fantastic.
And thank you. Yeah.
So I've patted you on the back enough. We're going to let you go. And you are going to come back on the podcast because I didn't even ask you. You're just coming back on the podcast.
Oh, I am.
Oh, sweet. All right. Well, where do people go to, one, to get the book, and two, to find Holberg Financial and to follow you on Facebook and Twitter and all these other things?
Yeah, so just holbergfinancial.com, of course. The book is on Amazon. It's Kindle as well as paperback. I'm old school in that sense. I love the paperback.
The paperback is a beautiful design, by the way.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Of course. Well, as always, people, we want to hear from you. You can follow us at Technori on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me at Katoon on Twitter and at Facebook.